Hey everybody, this is Fitz Stadler, and you're listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott and Adam.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the Walk Off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one.
You're back on your feet, bud. Look at you.
I survived it. I did.
He had his first vaccine shot, and boy, did that wipe you out, bud.
It was an embarrassing reaction. Like, I wasn't sick at all. Like, I didn't have a runny nose. I wasn't sneezing or coughing or short of breath or anything. I was just lazy.
Oh, we ran the Tuesday live stream without you, and it was so funny how many people were like, yeah, I had a friend, same thing. I had a family member out for 4 days.
Yeah.
And I remember even telling you, because I had a buddy who was on his butt for two days after the shot. And I was like, you should be fine after 2 days. And here we are, what, day five? And you're like, I'm still feeling it a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I just a little foggy. Like, I can't focus on necessarily things long. Like,
yeah.
I was just watching TV for 6 days straight. Like, I just felt like a bum.
Other than that, how's your week been?
It was good. Oh, you know what? Okay, so it got really good last night, and then it got bad. So, people may not know this about me, but I love Jeopardy. Okay, that's one of my, like, my guilty pleasures, in a way. I love Jeopardy. Love trivia.
I'm learning this. I didn't know that.
I'm generally, like, a pretty humble guy. I don't like to brag about my accomplishments or how handsome and smart I am or anything like that. But, like, Jeopardy, that's one thing that I'm actually, like, pretty good at. I grew up in the house where Jeopardy was just on all the time. I was never good at it as a kid. I don't think I got a final Jeopardy once in my life. And then a couple of years ago, Netflix started putting Jeopardy episodes on Netflix. And I started watching Jeopardy. And I was like, oh, I'm, like, actually pretty good at this, right? Like, I get probably, like, 40 to 50% of the questions right.
That's
which I think
good.
Is pretty good, right? It's easy to say because, like, I'm not buzzing in, I'm not competing with a timer, there's no risk for me just throwing out a guess. I mean, I might get
right.
40% right, but I answer everything.
Right? Right.
I'm not saying I would be good as a contestant, but as a...
But you always take your shot.
From home, yeah. I do all right, right? So last night, I know, because I think Netflix has, like, the rights to every Jeopardy episode ever, but they don't just put out the entire 2,000 episodes to watch, right? They put them out in, like, collections every, like, 5 or 6 weeks. They're like, here's season whatever from 1985 and stuff like this, right? So last night there was a new batch of episodes on Netflix, and I was, like, really excited. And when my wife came in the room and she was like, what are you so excited for? I'm like, there's new Jeopardy episodes. And she's like, well, they're not new. They're just new to Netflix. You've seen them before. And then, like, this, it, like, clicked in my head that, like, because she knows. She's one of the few people that does know that, like, Jeopardy is my thing. I love it.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's on in the background while I'm doing other stuff. And I'm just, while I'm doing dishes, I'm throwing out answers, right? But last night I realized that the reason she thinks I'm good at Jeopardy
is that you've seen
is
them
that
all.
I've just seen them all before. So she just thinks I'm a total fraud. And I it was really hard for me to take, and I spent probably 45 minutes trying to explain to her what I'm explaining to you now.
Right, my memory's not that good. Yeah.
So it's really hard to take. And then, of course, the first episode we watched, I got maybe 3 questions in the first half and then, like, 2 or 3 in the last half. And I'm like, see, I must not have seen this one before. I don't know. Anyway, so I felt pretty down in the dumps last night, needless to say. But I've got my Alex Trebek Funko Pop right here behind me. I don't know if you could see
nice.
That.
Nice. There you go.
Anyways, I digress. Let's get into baseball,
so
though.
Your Jeopardy confidence took a hit.
It took a hit. Absolutely.
Welcome, everybody, to the Walk Off. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a great guest today. Actually, we interviewed him a couple weeks ago, Fitz Stadler. He's a big 6'9" righty in the bullpen for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. part of the Toronto Blue Jays organization. Really great chat with him. He gets into the mechanics of pitching when you're 6'9". He talks about how deadly this Fisher Cats team really is in the grand scheme of affiliates. Mm-hmm. And of course, he kind of goes over how the whole shutdown and pandemic treated him. Great interview, great kid. We'll get to that in about 30 minutes here. Of course, every guest here on The Walk-Off brought to you by YourRate.ca. Darren Brown, the mortgage broker, he is there to help you out. He has helped my brothers, actually. Got them into a couple houses. My dad, he's done his mortgage for. So if you're looking to get into a mortgage for your first time or even just renew your current mortgage, this is the way to go about doing it, YourRate.ca. We'll get our socials out there before we get into the last couple series with the Blue Jays here. You can follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast and the Walk Off Podcast on Instagram, of course. YouTube, the Walk Off Podcast. You can kind of go through the channel if you're looking for Blue Jays content, all sorts of juicy pieces in there. Of course, subscribe and like. Always appreciated. All right, my man, 31-29 is the Blue Jays record. We're 60 games into the season. Of course, the 60-game season last year, they finished 32-28. So we're a little bit down from where this team was last year. And after the big ads they had over the offseason, you were expecting a little bit more, but we've yet to see much out of George Springer. He's played 3.5 games. Kirby Yates didn't even suit up for the team. So they're fourth in the AL East. They're not out of this. There's still 102 baseball games to play. That's a lot of ball. Mm-hmm. But, man, this team, how would you describe how they make you feel? You know, like, there's always this, like, little bit of hope. Like, that you always, I for myself, I just look at this team and I'm like, maybe they are a contender. I constantly think that. And they'll start to get hot and win a couple games. And I'm like, they found their footing. And then it just seems like they just can't keep that footing, right? They're always one step forward, one step back.
Yeah. The way I would relate it emotionally is it feels like, did you ever have a crush on a girl in high school who like wasn't into you, but she would, she would kind of like flirt with you just enough where you're like, maybe I do have a chance with this lady here. That's kind of what I feel like. Like, I know I'm not going to take this team to prom, but like every once in a while, you know,
you're like, maybe I could.
Yeah. Every once in a while it puts its hand on my knee and I'm like, oh, what's this? A 3-game winning streak. All right. But then the Yankees and sweep her off her feet, and it's like, oh yeah,
exactly.
We're the Blue Jays, I forgot. So it's kind of a broken analogy, but I think you know where I'm going.
I 100% get where you're going, and it is the case with this team. And I mean, we talked about this schedule last podcast that it is starting to ease up, and that there were some major opponents that we got to get through before we get to a little bit easier schedule. Because the truth is, yes, we are playing some easier teams here in Baltimore and Seattle and Miami coming up at the end of June, but it's not instilling any confidence that we constantly are losing these games to teams that we are going to be in major contention with. You know, like Houston and the White Sox are the two series this team just lost to, both very, very good teams. Both teams most likely are going to be in the playoffs, if not even win their divisions.
Right.
And what was frustrating about that is that they should have won both series. They had opportunity to win both series. And these are teams that if you can win a series or two against them, it only is going to increase the confidence this team has in itself. Like, this team has so much confidence, but it shakes all the time. You always feel like they're like, I can do this. And then they're like, whoa, maybe I can't. And these series were lost in the most disheartening ways for us fans, right? In that all six games that they played against Houston and the White Sox, runners in scoring position were left uncashed time and time and time again. And my goodness, as a fan, it is just heartbreaking to watch. And these are teams with some of the best pitchers in baseball. And so they're making progress against some of these guys like Rodon, right? Like that game they lost on Tuesday where Robbie Ray just pitched a gem, 13 strikeouts, 7 innings. I think it was 6.2 yeah. innings. Nonetheless, you get what I'm saying. Like Robbie Ray put on a display. And then throughout the game, the Blue Jays had guys on second and third,
Every
one inning. Out all the time. And they just, that's what kills me, man. Is the runners on first, like the runners on third when there's one out and not scoring it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's just heartbreaking for fans is this bullpen. I mean, we're going to wind up talking about this bullpen for probably more than we should on this episode, but man, they are losing games. That's flat out. This bullpen is losing this team games.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to blame anyone for this.
Yeah.
You know, like we were kind of getting into this a little before we hit the record button. Charlie Montoyo
has
taken a lot of crap from fans for the way he's managed this bullpen over the last 2 weeks, over the last month. And yes, he has made some questionable decisions. I mean, Adam, you and I can't sit here and defend him that much because we have both texted each other back and forth during games being like, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? That said, here I am about to defend Charlie Montoyo. Like, Tyler Chatwood pitched a clean inning on Wednesday, and Blue Jay fans everywhere were shocked. Like, this is where we're at. Like, Tyler Chatwood went so far down the rabbit hole of, I guess I'm describing that wrong, but he struggled to such a degree where fans were actually, like, myself included, thinking things like, has he lost it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is he done?
Yeah.
And then you start thinking, like, the sticky stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to crack down on that, and you're like, was he just using sticky stuff? Like, his spin rate went down a little, and you start questioning that, and then all of a sudden he pitches a great inning. But this is where this bullpen's at. Joel Piamps pitched the eighth inning yesterday. Joel Piamps is pitching some of the highest leverage situations for this team.
Do you want me to go down the list of who we've got in the bullpen right now?
Let's do it. Absolutely. Tim Mayza pitched a ninth inning. Buddy, like, Carl Edwards Jr. is being asked to get out. Like, this is not a good bullpen right now. But yes, please, go down the list.
Well, first, let's start with the guys on the IL right now. So we have Kirby Yates on IL 60. David Phelps, IL 60. Julian Merriweather, who looked awesome the first week or two of the season.
These are three guys before you go on. Yeah. These are three guys that if you were to put in this bullpen are the top three of the four top guys in there. And any bullpen loses their top three or four guys in the bullpen, it is going to be a major hit. Anyways, go on.
On top of that, we've got Ryan Baraki on the IL-10, Travis Bergen, IL-10, AJ Cole, IL-10. Here's who we've got left. Trent Thornton, Jordan Romano, Tim Mayza, Chatwood, Piamps, Dolis, Castro, Edwards Jr., and Jeremy Beasley. And if you're wondering, who are these guys exactly?
Four of those dudes in Beasley, Piamps, Edwards
and Castro.
And Castro were not even on the radar in spring training. They were afterthoughts. These are guys that were picked up off waivers, that have been put into situations that they shouldn't be in. And this is where it's really frustrating right now as a Blue Jays fan, is you're watching the bullpen blow it, but what do you do? Who do you go to?
Yeah, the term that best describes these bullpens, these bullpen pitchers, is they're warm bodies.
Yes.
It's all it is. We just
ham and eggers, ham baby. And
eggers. Yeah. You're right. Like, it's frustrating to see some of these guys blowing saves. I mean, we watched Bergen do it when 2 weeks ago when Chatwood walked the bases loaded. And I mean, we obviously all remember that heartbreaking loss, but it's like, it's Travis Bergen.
Yeah.
He had no business.
He had no business being in there.
Like,
if... Absolutely. It's like Carl Edwards Jr. He gave up all those runs and people are like, why are you putting Edwards in there? But yeah. Like, look at the list.
Yeah.
Who are you going to put in?
So how do you manage that then as your Charlie Montoyo?
And that's where I wish this talk to go. So what are the Blue Jays options currently? So let's start with internal, because I think we're not going to see this front office make a trade or a move to bolster this rotation and this lineup until July. And I could be wrong, and I almost hope I am. However, I don't see them stepping out and paying a premium for guys that they're going to be able to get for minimal assets.
Before we look at fixing the bullpen, could we just take one quick like stock assessment of like the bullpen that we have, the names that we just listed? Which of those names do you feel comfortable with?
I think Jordan Romano is lights out. He's been incredible over the last month. If you look at his numbers, he's got under a 1 ERA in the last 4 weeks. He has struggled with control a little, but he has managed to keep that under wraps. So Jordan Romano is our number one guy back there currently. Mm-hmm. And I think that even with, let's say, a Kirby Yates and Merriweather and Phelps in this bullpen, that he's still probably number two.
Right.
So Romano, Jordan, Rafael Dolis is a guy that this is the thing. Montoyo has two relievers that he can trust right now, and that's Jordan Romano and Rafael Dolis. And I'm being very generous putting Dolis in there.
Absolutely.
See, this is the thing, is Rafael Dolis is the number two guy in this bullpen currently and should be number five. And if Rafael Dolis is your number five guy in the bullpen, you're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he does. This is the thing. I wish to see Dolis out there in the sixth inning in a tight situation.
Mm-hmm.
Do I wish to see him out there in the ninth in a tight situation? No, I do not. Same with Tim Mayza, friend of the show. Yeah. We both loved him.
Loved
him. His story is fantastic. Comes back from Tommy John, makes the team out of nowhere. Lefty in the pen. Guy that put up a 0 ERA for the first 5 weeks of the season, and then he ran into some trouble. I'd love to see Tim Mayza out there in a low leverage situation in the bottom of the seventh inning. Would I like to see him pitching ninth innings? No, I would not. So if you're just asking me who I keep in the pen right now, I would be totally fine with Romano, Thornton, Dolis.
Is that it?
And Mayza. After that,
you've lost it on Chatwood. Chatwood's out.
Listen, if Chatwood, I mean, we've got no other choices here. So Chatwood continues to get run out there, and you cross your fingers and hope that he finds what was going on in April and the early part of May for him, because he was lights out. He was incredible. But man, the guy straight up lost games for you.
Yeah.
And I don't mean one, he's lost two or three that you can put solely mm-hmm. on his shoulders. That's tough.
That's tough. All right, so let's fix it now. Let's move on to something good. How do we fix it? You were getting on there before I backtracked you.
No, I like that. Internally is really probably what they're going to try to do. So let's talk Nate Pearson for a second here.
Okay.
This is a guy who's in AAA currently. He is the number one pitching prospect in baseball, or at least he was up until the last month, pretty much. That said, the guy has a big arm. He gets big league hitters out with his fastball. He throws 101 miles an hour, and he's got a slightly above average slider. The kid is good. He struggled with his control. He has been injured all season long. They rushed him back to the majors, and he kind of blew up in the one game. And then rather than let him figure it out in the majors, and I like that they put him in AAA, but that was a mistake. They probably should have started him in AAA
mm-hmm.
and let him push the issue.
Like Alec Manoah did.
Like Manoah did, right? Where they're just like, well, how can we not bring him up? He's mowing down mm-hmm. everyone at AAA. And they've been interesting with Pearson. They're doing a little bit of piggybacking with him. Like the last game, Thomas Hatch started, pitched two innings, and then Pearson came on with three innings of his own. So his last outing, Nate Pearson pitched 50 pitches, three innings, three hits, one walk, five Ks. This is a guy who struggled with injuries last year, didn't get a lot of innings under his belt last year. And maybe it might be best for both his development and for the Blue Jays bullpen to put him back there, kind of like the Anthopoulos regime did with Aaron Sanchez in 2015. Would I like to see Nate Pearson in the bullpen as a career? No, of course not. Right? Like, of course not. But of the options currently within the organization, Nate Pearson stands out as a guy who could really be dominant at the back end of that bullpen. Thomas Hatch is another guy. They're stretching out. They'd like him to be a starter. He was in the bullpen last year. Maybe they need to take a look at doing that again. I don't wish to sacrifice development on these guys to fix this pen. That said, maybe the proper development for this year where we're at with 100 games remaining and these guys dealing with injuries and not pitching a lot of innings last year, maybe the best thing for them is to give them some high leverage situations in the back of the end of this bullpen and let them grow as ball players under the stress of that, and then stretch them out over the off season and give them a go at the rotation in 2022. How are you feeling about that? Like, what? And if not, if you don't like that, what are other internal options? There aren't a lot of others.
Well, with Nate, I really don't want to say I've given up on Nate.
No.
I mean, we all laugh at people who wanted to trade Vladdy last year.
Yes.
And I hope that's still in Nate's future. That being said, I'm concerned with Nate.
I don't think you're alone. He is 24.
I don't know how much longer we wait to figure out what he is, right? Like, the rest of the season, sure, right? He's working on some mechanical changes and some adjustments, and sure, but if he's not ready to take the next step next season, not then what? Like, if we're going into spring of 2022 and he's not, like, pretty confidently pushing for a spot in the Jays rotation, that's alarming, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
I don't know. Is the bullpen the right answer? Probably. Right?
Like it probably is for this year, truly what's best developmentally for him even. And they desperately need someone back there.
Yeah, even as a guy who,
right? Like,
who
could just be you like agree a long, with that.
Like, yeah, and he could come in and be like a long relief guy that comes in. Like, we had a pitcher that is done after five, and we need Nate Pearson to come in and get six outs. That kind of thing, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know. What else could we do? I mean, we've got a couple, like, vet prospects. What's that fireballer that we got?
James Dykstra.
James Dykstra.
And this is something I was going to bring up to you. Do we go into the bullpens of these affiliates? Do we take a look at a guy like James Dykstra who throws 100 miles an hour in the back end of that Fisher Cats bullpen? Do we take a look at a guy like Taylor Cicito who's in the big lefty, 6'5", big fastball, throws 95, sweeping slider, has been lights out with the Buffalo Bison in AAA. And he's actually going to be on the show here in a week or so. He joins us for an interview. So there are options. However, those are higher risk options. These are guys who have never played in the big leagues. These are guys who have never faced big league at bats. And there might be some growing pains. And right now, the last thing this bullpen needs is growing pains. This bullpen needs consistency. This bullpen needs a steady hand.
Yeah, like, that's kind of what we've got, putting out guys like Carl Edwards Jr. and Jeremy Beasley, right? Jeremy Beasley's like, what, 19 years old, it feels like? You know, these guys are born in 1995, so mid-20s.
Yeah.
These are the guys, the equivalent. Like, these are just our... I don't know. It's... I don't know what the right answer is. I don't feel...
I don't either, man.
The problem with a bad bullpen is it takes so many steps to solve it. Like, the spot we've gotten ourselves into, the rotation would be so much easier to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you go, okay, we need two really good arms. We need two guys that can pitch into the seventh and have an ERA under four. That's
what's frustrating is, man, this starting rotation has been pretty solid the last 3 weeks. Ross Stripling has found his footing and has been putting in some innings, pitching six or seven innings every time he's out there the last three times.
Does feel a little bit smoke and mirrors with him.
It's possible.
I don't trust him back there as number five long term.
No, me neither. But he has been fine.
But with Ryu, Mats and Ray would be great, like, four and five guys. If we can add a two and a three.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've got Alec Manoah up right now.
And he's been decent.
So he's had three starts. You want to talk about his three starts? I mean, one amazing start against the Yankees.
And two gutsy starts after that. Like, this is the thing. The kid is still learning how to pitch to big league hitters. Yeah. And I really like his mental approach to the game. He's a very positive dude. He's a guy that, you know, you watched him get pulled in that second start, and he was in the dugout smiling and laughing, joking with the guys, you know, picking his Pete Walker's. He had like literally a 30-minute talk with Walker after he was pulled from the game. So, you know, he's just digging for information. What did you see? What did I do wrong? Right, just a sponge. And you love to see that. Is Alec Manoah the solution? I don't think so this year, but I think the experience he's going to gain is invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's probably better than anything that you can get off the scrap heap at this point.
Oh, totally. Well, I think
Ray's been a solid number two. Yep. That's the truth. I mean, this is a guy who, he gives up the long ball, and that was what happened on Tuesday. You know, his one earned run was a long ball because he fills the strike zone up so much.
And
he had 13 Ks.
And the problem with that, with Ray's home run that he gave up, was if we had a competent bullpen, we could have taken him out of the game.
Yeah.
We asked him to do more than we should have needed him to do.
They went to him in the seventh because they needed to.
Yeah.
And honestly, what's funny is after he gave up that home run, I wouldn't have brought in Dolis.
I agree.
I would have let him finish the inning. Yeah. No, and he was at 104 pitches. So it's a dangerous game the Jays are playing. And I we'd be silly to think the front office isn't pulling their hair out over this problem. Of course. This is their, you know, Shapiro's head springing off the pillow. And he's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I got to figure something out. But I don't think a trade is in the future until July. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. But I think any team that's making a trade right now, there's a little bit of desperation involved. And whenever you're trading from a side of desperation,
you gotta
overpay. You can get taken advantage of. Yeah,
absolutely.
Give up more than you should for stuff. Let's move on from the bullpen. Everyone is already very worried about the bullpen. I think that
this isn't breaking news at this point.
No, this is not breaking news. We don't need to harp on it too much here. I did wish to talk catching a little bit because we had a major league debut with one of our top prospects, Riley Adams, number three prospect in the catching ranks for the Toronto Blue Jays, number 18 overall in the Blue Jays system. This is a 25-year-old kid who was tearing it up in AAA, and OPS well over 1,000, six home runs in 78 plate appearances.
Right.
Good eye, walks almost as much as he strikes out. And, you know, before he was on the 40-man roster right from the start of the year. And when there were some injuries, he was the guy that they went to as the backup catcher in early May. And then the second that they had a chance to get Reese McGuire onto the roster, they moved him down.
Right.
He didn't actually make his debut in that first call-up.
Right.
He was there for in case of emergency. the team obviously felt he still had some development to do defensively. And this is what his knock has been. Not his knock, but the concern in the front office is that he's not quite there defensively. But you know what, man? He looked great behind the plate in his debut. Blocked some difficult balls to block, mm-hmm. made some throws to second base, big arm. Called some really good games. Got his major league debut out of the way. Got his major league hit, first hit out of the way, a double.
Almost
a no-doubter double off the wall. He looks really good with his bat. My question to you is, with Gabriel Moreno, literally, buddy, tearing up the minor leagues currently. Tearing it up. I want to read you something.
It's so frustrating because we've been trying to get a hold of Gabriel Moreno to come on this podcast for months. Like, basically since we started, he was one of our guys that we had listed right under Alek Manoah.
Yeah. This is from Baseball America. The game's biggest breakout prospect was at it again on Wednesday night, this time collecting two hits, including a double and two RBIs. He also cut down a pair of runners trying to steal. He has 11 multi-hit games this year as compared to just four games without a hit. He walked in two of those games, leaving just two games this season where he has failed to get on base. This prospect is elite defensively. And he's on the 40-man roster. So is Riley Adams being showcased currently?
Ooh, I like where your head's at.
Because the truth is, Alejandro Kirk ranks above Adams in the depth chart. He is back early July, eligible to come off the 60-day IL. He's currently doing rehab stints right now. He can't join the 40-man roster because they had to put him on the 60-man. So he's literally playing baseball right now. In fact, he was taking some live batting practice against a forgotten prospect with the Blue Jays out of Brazil. Eric Pardino is back up and throwing and very close to joining an affiliate. He'll probably join that Fisher Cats team. But so if you've got Kirk and you've got Jansen and McGuire supposedly ahead of Adams for some reason, and then you've got Moreno, like there's just too many catchers. So maybe they are kind of showcasing Riley Adams. Another guy to keep your eye out for, Kevin Smith. Now, he was one of the top prospects on the Jays system back in 2017. And then he took a real dip in 2018. But he is really raking right now at AAA. He has been defensively incredibly sound at shortstop. He plays third base a little bit. So he's a guy that you could wind up seeing on this roster. And he's another that guy that could be being shopped as a bait for trades,
well,
right?
I think we'd be crazy to not be doing everything we can to up Riley Adams' trade value because...
Yes.
I think we have in Danny Jansen and some combination of Reese McGuire and Alejandro Kirk. We have our current, it's not great, but it'll do, catching position cover.
Yes.
Like, it's not a hole as much as we like to complain about Danny Jansen. Like,
it's an offensive hole, but yes, defensively
but also,
they're fine.
Like, batting average is down across the league. So... if the league average is 230 and Danny Jansen's hitting 180, it's not that bad, relatively speaking, if we're being fair.
Yeah.
Right? Anyways.
No, I agree.
Moreno, so, I think, is clearly the catcher of the future.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
So everybody else in the middle, Reese.
I agree. And I mean, the way he's playing, dude, he's going to be a top 10 prospect in baseball before the end of this season. Yeah. So of course he's going to be your main guy. And he rakes. He rakes, dude.
Yeah.
He's still, I think his average right now in AAA or AA, I should say, is 390. Yeah. Like he's hitting 390. What?
Yeah. No, it's absurd. He should be on... like, as far as Blue Jays fans go, he should be the number one guy fans are excited about right now in terms of, like, who can help the team soon. Mm-hmm. Like Austin Martin is exciting. He's further away. Jordan Groshans is exciting. He's further away. I really feel like Moreno has a chance to make this team next year and make an impact. He could, even be a late season call up.
I was just going to say that exactly. We've seen this organization do this before with 21-year-old catchers with very little pro experience, right? Kirk got the call up in September last year. Maybe they try and catch fire in a bottle with Moreno and add him in September as well, even just for experience. It'll be interesting to see how they play it.
I would say Danny Jansen's job is safe at this trade deadline. I would say Gabriel Moreno's job is safe at this trade deadline. And I would say everybody else, I'm yes. listening to calls about.
Of course.
So
Kirk as well.
Yeah.
Kirk as well.
I mean, the price on Kirk would be probably the highest, right? But if some
yes.
if that's the price to get a number two pitcher is Kirk and somebody, I'm definitely listening to that call.
100%. Agreed. Did you have anything to add Blue Jays-wise?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Let's move on to Major League Baseball. Some interesting stuff happened the other day in a Pete Alonso press conference. So Pete Alonso kind of went off doing something that we're starting to see more and more guys do, and I love it. Josh Donaldson's been on a little bit of a tirade too. So Pete Alonso has two things that stood out about this press conference. Number one, he came right out and said, if you're going to load the ball up, you're using sticky stuff, do whatever you want. You want to put super glue on the ball, go ahead. This is his take on it. A little bit different than a lot of the other hitters that have kind of spoken up about this, right? Josh Donaldson is banging the drum nonstop about how this is ridiculous. And I tend to agree with Donaldson on this, but I like that Pete Alonso is also being like, I don't care. I'm so confident. Put whatever you want on it. I'm still going to smoke the crap out of this ball. But the thing that Alonso said that really stood out to me was... So I'm going to read here. This is directly from the press conference. This is right from the press conference. Pete Alonso just told reporters his theory, which he says is widespread among players. So he's not alone in this theory of what's going on in baseball. And what he says is happening is that MLB manipulates the baseballs year to year based on the free agent class that is coming up. He pointed to juice balls in 2019 before a lot of pitchers hit the open market, noted that a lot of high profile shortstops and position players are hitting the open market this year. And so basically what Pete Alonso is saying is that the MLB is artificially diminishing the value of these players, artificially diminishing how much these guys hit and the ERAs that they are doing. So that's a really interesting take. And the fact, listen, whether this is true or not, the fact that a lot of baseball players feel that this is true really goes to show you how bad the relationship is between MLBPA and Major League Baseball. The players truly believe that they are being manipulated and that their salaries are being manipulated on who's a free agent.
Wow.
It's pretty wild. It's a pretty wild accusation that they are literally trying to devalue pitchers when a lot of pitchers, good pitchers, are free agents and trying to devalue, you know, like, it's crazy.
It's wild. It's just...
I don't put it past them, though.
I don't put it past them, but I also don't know that they are competent enough to actually do it. Like, the only thing standing in their way is their incompetence, because we've seen how they've handled everything yes. in all of baseball forever. Like, the baseball ownership group is just, they're incompetent, is the nicest way I can put it. sort of think that they are, on the one hand, incompetent, but then on the other hand, also some evil geniuses who are able to weave and thread the needle between, oh, pitchers are coming up, got to do this. Oh, hitters are coming up, got to do that. Oh, this is going to thing, and then we got to change.
Like, is this deep state,
you know what,
for baseball?
You know what? I'm sorry. Here's a more realistic conspiracy theory if we want to get full tinfoil hat. I think that, here's my hot take.
Yeah.
Is that baseball saw CBA negotiations are coming up, right? So what should they do in order to have leverage in terms of, like, player salaries getting pushed down across all positions? What do they do? Global pandemic.
Right.
They come up with some sort of a disease.
Yeah.
That really just depresses the entire economy. No fans in the stadiums for a full season. Talk about leverage.
Yeah.
Well, we can't pay anybody, guys. Remember?
Guys, this plandemic is put in place by Rob Manfred.
Exactly.
We've come up with it. We figured it out.
We've solved it. So Pete Alonso helped me get there. But I don't know. It's fun to kind of talk about, but I don't think the MLB is smart enough to actually pull something that elaborate off.
I'm leaning towards your opinion on this too. However, the fact that baseball players think that this is happening
for sure,
and that this is a widespread conspiracy amongst the players, it does show you, man, like, a strike is coming.
It's going to be
like next year's
season
is in big time danger.
Yeah. Well,
on a happier note, should we leave? Did you have anything to add there?
No, before we go to this? I was just going to say, based on the fact that, like, last year, it was proven we can still survive on 60 games.
Yeah.
We have 102 games that we can easily burn during a lockout before we have to panic. So
it's going to be a shortened season, at least. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so on a happier note, I did wish to bring up Kevin Pillar, former Toronto Blue Jay Superman. Of course, he got hit in the face with a 94 mile an hour fastball. Anyone who saw the pictures, it was not pretty. His nose blew up, big black eyes. Well, he's back out there playing, and this is pretty darn cool. The bat that he was using when he got hit in the face, and it bled all over, and there's pictures everywhere. You don't need to go too far on social media to not see Kevin Pillar with his bloody bat.
Yeah.
Has hit two home runs with that exact bat since returning, which is very cool.
Very cool.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Always appreciate it. The walk-off community that has been building throughout the last year, it means the world to Adam and I. You can follow us on Twitter at Walk-Off Podcast. Join us on Instagram. Adam runs the Instagram account. That's the Walk-Off Podcast. We do have guests coming up, and feel free. We always get such great questions for our guests from you listeners, and never hesitate to shoot us a message in either Twitter or Instagram when you find out who's coming up. Again, Taylor Cicito, we're going to wind up talking
very
to
cool.
with the Buffalo Bison, big left-handed pitcher. He's at the point where he might even be the next call-up. Who knows? We've got Dara Harris. She is the assistant director for the high performance department of the Toronto Blue Jays coming up. Very cool stuff there. Stubby Clapp, Captain Canada.
Very cool.
And first base coach for the Philadelphia Phillies. He joins us on Tuesday, which we will be airing the complete interview of Stubby Clapp on the radio show we run every single Tuesday on 365 Sportscast, the radio network. You can download the app to listen to that, or you can just go online. As well, we always do our live streaming of the Blue Jays games every single Tuesday. So many of you join us, and it's so much fun. You can find that live stream on our YouTube page, The Walk-Off Podcast. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Runner goes, trying to steal third, and that one is belted to left center field, and that baby's gone.
Hey, everybody. This is Fitz Stadler, and you're listening to The Walk-Off Podcast with Scott and Adam.
So thrilled to be joined by today's guest, pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. His season with the Double A New Hampshire Fisher Cats well underway. Fitz Stadler, welcome to the walk-off, man. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. You guys are great.
Well, buddy, we're excited to talk some baseball with you here. I know you're an Illinois boy, correct?
Yes.
So did you spend your 2020 kind of minor league shutdown back home then?
Yes, I spent in the Chicagoland area, mostly in like a northern suburb of Chicago. And to and from, actually, my parents have a place in Long Beach, Indiana, and it was a kind of a getaway for me. I traveled quite a bit, but I had my time off, but also worked pretty hard.
It must have been interesting not having baseball last summer, eh? I'm sure it's been a while since you've had a summer like that.
Very interesting. A lot of golf.
A lot of golf. That's what I've been hearing from a lot of the boys in the organization, is that they're like, oh, we hit the links. We're better at golf now. That's for sure. How did you stay in shape and continue to train and stuff like that? Was it a little more difficult than you had anticipated?
It was very interesting. Very interesting at the beginning, especially. You kind of had to like find your way into your kind of like private gym, I should say. Because there was just so many COVID restrictions, and you're doing everything on your own pretty much with like whatever you can find, really, bands. I was throwing at a local like T-ball baseball field where I grew up down the street. I was throwing into a chain link fence with a couch cushion on it.
That is some baseball romance 101 there. That's old school.
That's a Disney movie, man.
So I know you were saying, we were texting there, your girl's flying in today, correct?
Correct, yeah.
That's awesome. How long have you guys been seeing each other?
Just past 6 months.
Probably, so she hasn't gone through the rigor of the baseball season yet, eh?
Yeah, I think her first minor league game will be coming up here on tomorrow. Yeah,
that's great, buddy. I know, it's funny because both Adam and I are stand-up comics, right? And so, like, I'm touring all the time, or at least I used to tour when travel was a thing, but looks like it's starting again pretty quick here, hopefully. I know it's funny because having like a supportive and understanding person with you while you're pursuing something like comedy or baseball is
right.
It mentally soothing almost, you know, like having someone who's got your back and supportive and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. What has your experience been with relationships as you kind of pursue professional baseball?
You know, in the past, I haven't really done the long distance relationship. But I mean, this is one where we both agree on a lot of things, and there's definitely some competitiveness between the two of us.
Awesome.
She's played soccer in high school. She's a little athlete, but I mean, it's definitely nice to backtrack to someone that cares about like what you're doing every day.
For sure.
Obviously, it's nice to have family every day after the field. You know, you kind of have to spill out what you have been feeling, because sometimes when you're at the field, you can't really express all your feelings. There's definitely a lot of ears that can pick up on what's going on.
Totally.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, eh? Like, because, and I know my girl always, I mean, she's used to it now, but when we first started dating, would give me shit before shows, because for whatever reason, man, 2-3 hours before a show, you can't talk to me. Like, you can talk to me, but I'm not intaking anything and I'm putting nothing into a conversation, right? Like, my brain gets in comedy mode, and I'm sure it's similar for you, right? And like, to have someone who's like, okay, this isn't me personally. Yeah, no, he's doing his thing. Yeah.
she definitely understands. She knows that I'm trying to do my thing, and it takes some time. Obviously, I'm at the field for, I don't know, like 8 hours a day or something. Like
right.
That.
It's a job.
Right. And I'm not one of the people to always have my phone out, really. I mean, I try not to. I try not to be on social media, but I find myself on it quite a bit.
We all have that problem. Yeah.
But no, I've been trying to get past the phone and just keep playing baseball. I'm so happy to be out here and playing again. You guys have I guess you guys do have an idea.
Well, I can imagine, though, man. Like, yeah. Just putting that uniform back on and having some sense of normality would be very, very refreshing, I'm sure. And this Fisher Cats team, too, dude. It has been touted by baseball pundits and analysts as, like, one of the best teams in minor league baseball, right? And you've played pro ball for a few years now. You've gone through the rigors. How does this team stack up with others that you've played on, and what is the vibe around the clubhouse right now?
I will say, I think it was the other day. I think I went in and it was like maybe 5-2 or something. And I think I gave up a 3 spot. Yeah. And I went back in the dugout and I was like very frustrated with myself, but trying to keep things to myself, whatever. And then I was like, oh my gosh, look at the team that we have. Like, this offense is so explosive and so fun to watch. And what do? We go out there and we do a walk-off like the next inning.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That is so great, eh? To like know you're on a team where you can make a mistake or two and that your teammates got your back, right? They'll make that up for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
With so much talent on the field, and you just touched on it, and some of the top prospects in the Blue Jays organization in the starting rotation. It's funny how the bullpen is a bit of a forgotten weapon on that Fisher Cats team, but there's some big arms back there. Guys like James Dykstra, Brody Rudning, and yourself, right? And there's a real chance to shorten games, put a little bit less pressure on the starting pitching. How are you feeling about this pen? And what's the dynamic like? I know pitchers love to kind of, you know, talk and share information. Is there a lot of that going on?
Yeah, we constantly have a chart going on the other hitters. We like to see if they're attacking us, if they're swinging first pitch. But, you know, we have a good sense of humor down there. Everybody's kind of darting into each other, kind of like trying to lighten the mood, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's fun, man. I think we got a solid crew down there. I think our habit is playing, you guys know the game Password, where you give one word hints and you have a partner.
Yeah,
we've been playing a little bit of that, but definitely a good squad down there to have when you're waiting around, not having anything to do, stretching out, whatever it is.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because it does feel like a fun bunch. Like, we talked with James Dykstra recently on the show, and he was talking about how good he thinks this Fisher Cats bullpen could be. And he mentioned you as a guy who could wind up being a high leverage guy, right? A guy who could have a really big season. And he called you Stads, the 7-foot monster. I don't know if he calls you that to your face or if I'm just tattling on him here. But and it's funny for those listening right now who don't know, Fitz here is 6'9". Have you ever been not the tallest man on the team?
I don't think that's happened yet, but I do know people. I do know friends of mine that also play baseball. Both of my older brothers, they played for Indiana University, and they played with a guy that's like 6'11", maybe 7 feet. He plays for the Angels now. His name is Aaron Slagers.
Slagers, wow. Yeah. That's basketball height, man.
I think he's like 7 feet, 7'1", because I like look up at him. And it's very weird to me.
I'm sure. Odd. You could probably count on one hand how many times you need to look up. Yeah. I'm sure being 6'9 as a pitcher has huge advantages to it. And I'm sure there's some disadvantages too. What are those advantages, and what do you need to concentrate on to minimize your disadvantages?
I would say I tend to try and throw like I'm a smaller person, if that makes any sense.
Tighter, compact.
Right. I don't know if you watch like a guy like I'm not saying he's like a shorter, he is shorter than me. But like a guy like Marcus Stroman, he throws so athletically, and really moves well, And I would say I try and throw like I'm a smaller guy and I'm more compact, more on time. But I mean, I've been working pretty hard this past off season with DJ Snelton and John Snelton. They're brothers back home, like back home in the Chicagoland area. DJ's played for the Rays. He's played for the Giants. He's played for the most recently the Cubs.
Nice.
But they've really helped me out recently. They've kind of brought the idea of that's throwing like a smaller guy or being a little bit more electric on the mound, having a little bit more effort throws to gain some velocity.
I just have to say, I love the confidence in the way you compared yourself to Stroman. Like, you're not a taller version of him. He's a shorter version of you. That's just such a winner's attitude right there. And I just love it. So.
Yeah. No, I like doing that comparison because it kind of shows where I'm trying to be with my arm action. I don't really know.
No, of course.
In what other way, but...
Well, definitely. It's funny. Sorry, go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
I was just going to say it's funny how baseball has become so velo-driven here, and I did want to talk some pitching with you. What is the favorite pitch that you're throwing right now? I know a lot of guys just say the fastball, and if that's it, that's fine. And of your pitches in your repertoire, which one did you find took the longest to develop?
I would say just in my past, I would say the pitch that has taken the longest to develop is the changeup. Going back to high school, I don't want to open up the yearbook or anything, but I was a quarterback in high school. Yeah. Everything kind of seemed to come off of the index finger. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but, using like these three out here, definitely not as doesn't come as normal to me, but like I'll throw a really good changeup every now and then.
Yeah,
I'm mostly a fastball slider guy. As your answer your question about which pitch is my favorite right now, I've been always trained to say whatever gets them out.
Right.
but I will say the heater has been pretty fun to throw. Yeah. I've definitely made some gains in the off season.
How do you go about making velo gains? Is it a weight training thing or is it how you're throwing the ball? Like, is it all form?
I'd say it's a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Throwing on time, like I said earlier, maybe making some gains in the weight room, putting on a little bit of muscle size, a lot of people say mass is gas.
Right.
I like to look fit. I don't know about many other guys, but a lot of people just put down food. You got to put it down in the right places.
Right.
You know, after like a long outing or something like that yesterday, I threw, almost, it was, I think it's 1.2. So like it was kind of a lot of work for me. So I ate a lot of food after that. My trainer in the off season, John Snelton, he said to try and eat 6,000 calories a day.
Holy.
Yeah. I was kind of like just lifting every day and a lot of strain on the body, a lot of recovery had to go on. Just said eat everything in sight.
Did you find that your velo ticked up a little bit? I know that you were a starter a couple years ago, and the Jays have more recently moved you into a relief role. Have you seen an uptick in your velo since doing that, and are you enjoying the bullpen? And was that transition easy for you or difficult? What was that like?
I enjoy the bullpen. I feel like I've kind of always been a hybrid type of guy. I could either do either or. In my first year with the Canadians and in Bluefield, I was doing more of a long relief role. And then in 19, I was more of a piggyback starter, if you will. It was kind of like a either start the game and go five or relieve and be first out of the pen and go four. That was nice. That was definitely nice for me in 19, just because you get your 5 day rotation down. You know exactly what you're doing every day. Definitely throwing a little bit more innings, but I would say it was so much more routine like. Mm-hmm. And now back in the pen, it brings back those bullpen butterflies when they're calling down to the bullpen. It's awesome. I mean, yeah. I love that feeling. But you know, it's just kind of like the heat of the moment thing. But no, I like being down there. Like I said, we got a great group of guys, good sense of humor down there. What was the last question?
Just how difficult it was to kind of transition.
I was saying kind of like a hybrid guy. I mean,
yeah,
just go out there and dominate. That's kind of like what I try to do. I mean, I don't really.
No, I love that mindset of like, put me wherever, like I'm ready. You know, that's great.
Yeah. It's like a firefighter. You're just hanging out around the fire station. You're like, okay, well, alarms are going off. I guess we're going. We'll see what happens when we get there.
Yeah.
So you have been a reliever. You've been a long man, a starter. You've got some experience in pro ball. You've played college. I'm curious, have you ever been called upon by your manager to deliver some old school retribution and maybe plunk a guy in the batting box? Have you ever been like specifically been like, all right, Fitz, this is your moment. Go get him. You don't need to tell who or when, but.
No, C's is our manager right now. And he's a pretty old school guy. He won't give you any of that stuff, but, I think in Portland, Maine, we had like a benches clearing because like, oh my gosh. One of our pitchers threw like just like an errant fastball. It was just an errant fastball.
Right.
Nothing was on purpose or anything. And it went behind him, I guess. And he had gotten hit the day before. And he took like five or six steps out towards the mound and still had the bat in his hand. And it's like, I was like, no, that's not happening. But I mean,
does running out of the bullpen feel as cool as it looks? Because it looks like the Calvary's coming in.
Yeah, no, it's definitely fun. But, you know, I'm more of a sense of humor guy. Yeah. I try to have fun out there. A lot of people are looking up to you when you're out there. And I just hate for some little guys. Baseball mind to be ruined, you know.
Of course. So I know I've kind of drawn a couple comparisons here between comedy and baseball, but hecklers, number one, I can't stand hecklers. And number two, for whatever reason, they just seem to be a thorn in the side of both comedians and ball players for like as long as the professions have existed, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever had to deal with a super obnoxious heckler yelling at you, or even worse, someone yelling at you that's getting laughs from the crowd?
I've definitely had a couple, but like I said, like I'm kind of laughing about it as
right.
well. I mean, sometimes like after like a rough outing and someone's still giving it to you, it's kind of one of those like, you're still on the other side of that fence. Like I guarantee you wouldn't be saying that with you standing right next to me. So,
it's like the real life version of online comments, eh?
Right. It's like, oh, I mean,
yeah, that's right. Like that.
And they know we can't do anything about it.
Yeah, so. Of course. Have you ever seen someone get heckled that you were laughing pretty good that you're like, oh man, whoever's doing this is pretty funny.
To me,
to you. Yeah.
It's pretty. Believe it or not, it's pretty funny to make fun of a dorky looking six foot nine pitcher.
That's great.
Oh, I love the sense of humor, man. It's funny. Struggling at the plate to start the season for a hitter, or having a bad inning or two to start a year can be really mentally tough on a ball player, because you need to look at the scoreboard and deal with the ugliness of those numbers, right? Like your average, your batting average, or your ERA is going to be all inflated. And I know you kind of fall into that category this year. You just kind of touched on it, right? That you got touched up the other day. You're four innings into the season and you have like a 24 ERA, right? How do you mentally set that aside and just kind of go about your business the next day and kind of tell yourself, well, over the season, this is going to work out?
I've been talking often with our pitching coaches. I mean, there's no real way to say it. I mean, I like to say that's baseball. Yeah. That just happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. It just stinks.
Because it does.
Right. Right. And it's just that I feel like it's the beginning of the season. You know, it's still kind of like it was still kind of cold. It's definitely warming up now. And it's my first time in Double A.
Like
everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the other numbers look pretty good right now. Maybe just missing a couple locations every now and then, but
just keeping things perspective, I guess. Eh?
Yeah, I'm pretty calm about it. My dad has always instilled a positive mental attitude. So I always write PMA in my hat.
That's great.
So that's definitely something that's good to go back on.
I love that.
Yeah.
I know you just touched on that. This is your first time in Double A. Has there been anyone on this Fisher Cats team that has kind of made things easier on you, been supportive, kind of showing you the ropes a little bit?
Yeah. I would say an older guy, John Harris. He's definitely kind of like, if you ask him a question about, hey, like where have you gotten food from or whatever it is, even if it's baseball, he's like, hey, new day tomorrow.
Right.
Like nothing wrong with that. He's definitely been a help. I mean, a lot of guys are a year or so older than me. So,
right.
I mean, they've been around for another year. They always got an ear for you. But there's also some younger guys. I know a lot of position guys are younger, but
yeah,
I've been having fun with it though, man. A lot of supporters. Most of this team wants to see you do well, and that's really a good thing to have.
And it's kind of neat too that there's so much hype kind of around the team. Like you've got some eyes on you. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah, it is awesome. To take the field with all those guys is fun. I'll tell you that.
So Fitz, we chatted with and we mentioned this already, James Dykstra last week, and we've had Brody Rudning on the show, and we had Blue Jays catcher for Dunedin, Zach Britton. I don't know if you've met Zach yet, but.
Yeah,
very cool dude. Nice guy. Missouri boy. Anyways, we played some Canadian trivia with the three of them. None of them did very well. All right. So we had 3 out of 6 right for Zach, 1 out of 6 for Brody, who's from Minnesota. So
I know. Like Canada. Right? He also speaks like a like kind of Canadian.
I know. Voice. I know.
The accent's
I thought he was going to kill it. Like both Adam and I, when we were giving him questions, the only one Brody got right was it a hockey question. It's just because he's a hockey nut, right? Like,
yeah, he's definitely a hockey nut for sure.
And then Dykstra got 3 out of 6 as well. Curious if you mind if we test your Canadian trivia here. We know you played in Vancouver, so hopefully you got a little bit of an edge here.
I hope so.
All right, so let's see how you stack up against Zach, James, and Brody here. We'll do 6 questions. We're going to start with hopefully an easy one. Just kind of ease you in here. So the NHL team in Vancouver is the Vancouver what?
The Canucks.
Yes, nailed it. Start strong. Yeah. Look at this.
Hey, I got some history with you guys out there. I'm a Blackhawks fan.
Uh-oh.
I remember the Sedin twins.
Oh, man. Yeah, they were, that Vancouver team. With the Sedins and Bertuzzi back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good team. The current Prime Minister of Canada is who?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to pass. I have
no idea. Okay. Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
You wouldn't have got that. That's fine. So you're one out of two right now. So the Toronto Blue Jays joined the MLB in 1977, playing outdoors at Exhibition Stadium. In 1989, they opened their new stadium that is currently called the Rogers Center. But when it was built, it was the first stadium in the league with a retractable roof on it. And because of that, it was called what?
Oh. A convertible?
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. Dome is at the end.
Okay. I was going to guess convertible. Kind of throw some humor at it, but
it is Skydome.
Yeah.
There you go.
I've never been to Toronto, so.
Well, once you move on up here, buddy, like it is, it's a fun city.
That's all I've heard. That's all I've heard.
So there are two Canadians currently in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Can you name one of them? One is a pitcher, and it's old school, but very, very recognizable name. The other one is an outfielder who played with the Montreal Expos and the Colorado Rockies.
Joe Carter.
Good guess, not Canadian. Larry Walker, Fergie Jenkins.
Okay. Fergie Jenkins. That's definitely a name that I know. That's definitely a name that I know.
Okay. So what province is Toronto in?
Oh my gosh.
Illinois touches it.
I know that British Columbia is on the west.
One of the Great Lakes is called after it.
Wait, what's that?
One of the Great Lakes is named after it.
There's sure.
You're going to know this one. This one you will kick yourself. Ontario.
Yeah, it's going to be
there. You go. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's definitely not any other of the Great Lakes names.
But here's the thing, Fitz. This is actually helping you out in the long run, because when you wind up in Toronto and everyone's like, man, Stadler knows his Canadiana, you'll be like,
Do one Sportsnet interview and refer to it as Sky Dome, and every fan will be on your side.
That's right.
Rogers, the sponsor, won't be so happy with you, but the fans will be thrilled.
So it was named the Sky Dome before the Rogers Center.
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. Okay. So last question. Canada is well known as producing some very funny comedic talent. Can you name any of them actors or comedy? What?
You.
Oh, he's got us on a technicality. He's got us on a technicality.
Who's Canadian? I would say almost every single Canadian baseball player that I've met is a comedian. but I couldn't tell you.
That is fine. We would have accepted Jim Carrey, Norm MacDonald. There's
Carrey,
lots of them out.
Canadian?
Yeah, Jim Carrey's Canadian.
What a
buddy.
Funny dude. I grew up watching a lot of his stuff. He is a very silly comedian.
Yes, he is.
But then again, that is kind of some of my immature humor at times.
Okay, Fitz, this is where we're at right now. So we're going to go to a little segment here called Foul Territory, and Adam's going to take over, and he's going to ask you some questions that maybe aren't quite as baseball focused.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So first one's really easy. Obviously, you're from Chicago. Wrigley Field is amazing. One of the top five fields in all of baseball. The Jays are currently, I guess, in talks or in discussions about building a new ballpark. I mean, I don't want to say anything that's going to get you in trouble. I know, let's just all agree that the Jays Rogers Center is also a great stadium, right? There's nothing wrong with it. Wink, wink. In a new stadium.
If you like cement bunkers. No.
If you like generic cement bunkers with a retractable roof, hey. In a new stadium that could be built in Toronto, what is an interesting characteristic that maybe you've seen at another ballpark that you would like to see in a new stadium in Toronto? Like, just off the top of my head, for example, it's a very symmetrical curved outfield wall at Rogers Center, which for me is just super boring. I would love to see some corners and some weird angles out there.
Right.
Just as a
like
starting
a little
point.
Triple corner or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So what's something that you would love to see in a new stadium?
Honestly, this is like kind of off topic, but I'll say some very high shower heads.
Yes.
Locker room.
We'll give you that one. Okay.
But I would say I'm a fan of like the little tricky outfield corners and whatnot. I love the classic look at Wrigley Field with the ivy. But you know, that's kind of like, I feel like every single stadium like goes their own way.
We get some maple on the wall out in Toronto.
Yeah.
Maybe like some sort of wow, that's definitely interesting. Well, you were talking about the retractable roof and everything. I believe that Soldier Field, I don't know if you guys know like the NFL that well, but like I think Soldier Field should have definitely been indoors. That was built like recently in like 2008 maybe.
Yeah.
But I would like to see it be indoors or outdoors. And then another part.
So indoors or outdoors, but not both.
Oh, definitely. Just not outdoors. Oh, just not
outdoors. Right. Yeah. You're like, let's the roof open, but what the option for indoors?
Yes.
Those April games in Toronto.
Right. And I've been to like some D-backs games in Phoenix. Those games are fun and like pretty cool in there in the summer.
Yeah.
But like, as opposed to like outfield fences or maybe like something in the outfield to make like what's the pointy thing called? Is the Space Needle?
Yeah. Right. The CN Tower. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe some sort of thing to make that kind of like stand out a little bit more. Okay. I know that many cities try to, you know, make things pop like that.
Yeah,
right. Like in St. Louis there.
Right, exactly.
Archway.
Exactly. All right. You ask the 6'9" guy what he would do, and he's like, I want higher shower heads. Can we make the doorways 6'11"? Yeah.
ding, ding, ding.
All right. No, that's great. And as a pitcher, I want really far outfield walls, please.
Yeah.
Big, tall, far away outfield walls. Okay.
Maybe put a big bottle of Canadian maple syrup in center field.
I love it. Sounds good. Canadian maple syrup and some Canada Dry out in center field. All right. So what is the fastest animal that you could beat in a foot race?
Oh, I would like to say that I'm a little faster than people may think. My college coach used to call me Avatar.
Nice.
I just watched that last night with my kid. Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Avatar.
Your little blue avatar is just Marcus Stroman.
I don't think I could outrun, like, I mean, I might be able to outrun like a a slow dog. Yeah, I'm not outrunning a horse. I'm not outrunning a zebra, tiger, lion.
All right. Old three-legged pug, and you got it, yeah. Though, hey? All right, yeah. Sounds good. The last question here for you. You mentioned you're in a relationship. What do you think your girlfriend would say is your most annoying personality trait?
Oh, man.
You only get to pick one, okay? I'm too handsome sometimes. That one doesn't count either, okay?
Probably just sitting there and just not talking. I can't multitask. It just doesn't work. There's something about it for me that just doesn't happen.
Hence you trying to stay off your phone a bit, eh?
Yeah, I mean with the long distance thing, there's a lot of FaceTime.
Right.
Which I'm not going to complain about. It's definitely a great thing to have.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, I'll be lost on my phone or something. She'll ask me a question. Definitely get annoyed about it.
Are you listening to me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, great. So, thanks Fitz, so much. We're gonna end the interview here with some listener questions. Are you good on time? Do you have a few more minutes here?
Yeah. Go
okay,
for it.
Perfect. So this first question is from Jennifer out of Vancouver, and she says, "Hey, Fitz, so cool you're doing the show. I'm a big Vancouver Canadiens fan and follow the team religiously. I actually saw you play back in 2018. What was your Vancouver experience like? Did you enjoy the city?"
I could not say a bad thing about that city.
Nice.
I loved everything about it. Some very, very awesome host parents or host mom I had there, Jen West, she took care of me. I still, to this day, I trade, I need to send her another one. I need a good reminder. But I send her Lou Malnati's pizza, like the frozen pizzas, the thick, deep dish. I send her those and she sends me Canadian maple syrup for my pancakes.
Awesome. I love that. Great.
Good little trade-off. But I thought the mountains were beautiful. I went up to Whistler even.
Nice.
I thought the mountains were beautiful. Golf was awesome. The sushi was great.
Natville Stadium's a nice little stadium too.
Yeah. The weather was awesome. It was a sellout at the Nat, like pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Literally not a bad word to be said about that city.
Speaking of sushi in Vancouver, did you know that the California roll was invented in Vancouver?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dang. Why now would they call it California?
I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe a bunch of California people were eating it.
You know what? I feel like that's true, but now as I say it, I'm less confident in that actually being a fact, and I'm regretting saying it. I should have looked that up.
You
but I'm pretty sure that's
confident,
true.
Confident, Adam. No one was questioning you.
Anyways, people are going to roast me in the comments. You idiot. That's all right.
So your next question is from Daniel in Lethbridge, Alberta. So that's the province right above Montana. He says, "Hey, man, wondering what your routine looks like day to day. Now that you're in the bullpen, what does your preparation look like?"
My preparation for each day usually starts with like foam rolling. Doing some mobility, some stretching, and depending on the day, let's say it's the day that I'm throwing in the game, I probably won't get a lift in. I probably won't get much running in prior to the game.
I'm the same way on game day too. I don't exercise at all when there's a Jays game on.
But if it's like a day after, I'll definitely get in there and get a hard lift in, get a nice body flush.
Nice.
And into certain specific areas, mostly legs. I try to go light on the upper body, just because I'm in season, want to stay explosive, do things with speed and intent. But definitely, like in between my game days, I'll definitely get a lift in. But on game days, I will not.
All right, the last listener question here is from Alea in Toronto, and she says, "Hey Fitzpatrick, so you're giving your full name's getting some use here."
Yeah, awesome.
She says, "Hey Fitzpatrick, curious what your favorite meal is that you can only get on the road. Is there a restaurant or an opponent's park or a city you play in that you look forward to for the eats?
Gonna have to kind of brush my shoulders off. I would definitely say Chicago food is the best food.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know. I get to go home.
Yeah. I definitely eating my mom's homemade food and eating Chicago home style food is, there's nothing like it. Going to Portillo's and getting an Italian beef or something, you can't beat it. And definitely pizza. Pizza is like probably my most beloved thing. So
honestly, Fitz, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We really appreciate it. And all the best in the season, man. Hopefully we can do this again.
Yes. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for making the time. You guys are very funny. Like I said, have a great day. You guys took the time to come in early too.
Yeah, so. We did.
Have a good one.
Awesome. Right on, Fitz. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drop. Cheese and cracker shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.